by Hitler's negotiations with Stalin. And Berlin announces that in the near future, there is to be a conference in which Italy and Russia will participate. And Berlin wants us to believe that that is in response to the agreement between Germany and Russia that there were to be consultations if Hitler's peace effort failed. Hitler's peace effort has failed, and so the logical thing for Berlin to do is to go back to Russia and say, now, what are you going to do to help us win the war? And it's also natural that she should say that same thing to the other end of the Rome-Berlin axis. But it is not at all certain as to how friendly the reply from Russia or from Italy will be. But world attention tonight is centering on Finland. Soviet troops are concentrating heavy detachments on the Finnish border. And at this very moment, the foreign representative of Finland, the man who represents her normally in Sweden, is in Moscow to confer with Stalin and to find out what Stalin is asking little Finland to do. Foreign Minister Coate of Norway said this today: I cannot deny that the United States, Sweden, Norway, and Denmark made a demarche to Moscow on behalf of Finland. Now, that's a typical backhanded diplomatic statement which affirms by refusing to deny. It indicates that friendly neutral powers have made clear to the Soviet government their wish to see the independence of Finland respected. It involves no threat, but it puts Russia on notice that she will antagonize public opinion in at least four countries, some of them important neighbors or customers, if she seeks to force Finland to give up sovereign rights over Finnish islands. It also may stiffen Finland's resistance to Russian demands. And when we remember that it was French and British promises of support that stiffened Polish resistance to German demands for Danzig and a road through the corridor, we can see how delicate a diplomatic situation is involved. If neutral intervention of this kind helps the Finns to soften Russian demands, it will have justified itself. If it leads the Finns to expect help against Russia, it may prove to have been an unfortunate move. So only the future can tell as to just what its results are going to be. Winston Churchill announced today that the losses of British ships by submarine action totaled 5,089 tons since September 24th. This is a period of 2.5 weeks. If the rate doesn't go up, the submarine menace is as good as ended. The French Navy reported today that it has seized 150,000 tons of merchandise destined for Germany since the war began, which indicates that the blockade is effective. Of course, the submarine menace may go up. Germany may have recalled most of her submarines for new equipment and new instructions. The methods of attack may be changed on the basis of the first month's experience. We know that the French and the British have reported the elimination of a dozen German submarines since the war began. With only 60 submarines to begin with, that's too heavy a loss for Germany to stand. She can build more submarines, to be sure, but that takes time, and training fresh crews takes more time. Up to the present, the experts who have told us that in modern war, defense is stronger than attack seem to be right all along the line. It has certainly been true at sea, in the air, and on the Western Front. Senator Bennett Clark, Missouri Democrat, today attacked the administration proposal to change the Neutrality Act. He challenged the Senate to recognize frankly that the secret assumption behind efforts to change the act is to help France and England against Germany. Of course, those who want the act changed reply that to leave it as it is helps Germany against England and France. Senator Burke said this today in some of the strongest language that's been used in the United States Senate since this debate began. Strong particularly in that it takes such definite sides in the war, in that it completely steps away from that position of neutrality which so many of the senators participating in this debate have endeavored at least to maintain with respect to the two contenders in the European war. For here is what Senator Burke said in denouncing the present Neutrality Act. I see no justification on any ground for permitting a law to stand that favors Hitler. Must we close our ears to his broken promises? Must we shut our eyes to the fate of one after another of the independent nations of Europe that stood in his path to power and chanced to be not strong enough to resist his advances? Must we blot from our memory his record of religious persecutions? And so on and so forth. You see, quite an emotional, oratorical denunciation of Hitler and of the German side of the war. And it's significant as being practically the first that we have had of that particular type of speech in this present debate. Because up to date, this angle of the debate has received much more attention in the Senate lobbies than on the Senate floor. And that's why Senator Clark called the desire to help the Allies a secret assumption. There seems little reason for such secrecy in view of the American public opinion as revealed by recent polls. The last Life Fortune poll showed that 83% of all Americans want to see the Allies win. And the latest Gallup poll published today shows that 60% of all Americans want to see the Neutrality Act changed. Now, Senator Warren R. Austin, Vermont Republican, made his public gesture yesterday. He announced that he wants the arms embargo repealed because he wants France and Britain to win the war. He and Senator Norris are the first senators to make such an announcement. Now, Senator Austin is the assistant minority leader of the Senate and occupies an important strategic position on that account. And yet, on this issue, he supports the president, the Democratic president. Now, I cite that because it shows the crossing of party lines. It shows that a certain number agree with the president in saying that there are methods short of war by which we can oppose dictators, and that party politics has very little to do with this particular debate. And it's very much to the credit of the United States Senate that it is so, that we have practically forgotten party politics in dealing with this particular issue, important issue on foreign affairs. Now, Senator Austin said this: we must do all things possible to hasten the victory of the Allies. You see, he says the same thing that Senator Burke said in even more oratorical language today. Yet, he opposes sending American soldiers abroad to hasten the victory of the Allies. And on this point, he says, we absolutely will not send our boys to a foreign battle. What better defense is there for us, therefore, than that which will keep the battlefront just as far as possible from us? Now, Senator Borah's contention is just the opposite of Senator Austin's. He maintains that if we manufacture munitions for the Allies, we invite the Germans to come and blow up our plants, thus bringing the battlefront right into the United States. Now, we must remember that both Senator Austin and Senator Borah are predicting what is going to happen. And since they contradict one another, both can't be right. Now, it's possible that both are wrong. Senator Austin may be wrong in thinking that we keep the battlefront away from us by exporting munitions. Senator Borah may be wrong in thinking that an army of German spies and saboteurs is going to raise havoc here if we do sell munitions. Many Americans seem to think that we should decide our neutrality policy in accordance with American interests without worrying too much whether the French or the British or the Germans will or will not like what we do. And in that connection, an amendment to the present Neutrality Act excluding specific nations or areas from its rather drastic shipping sections was proposed today by Senator Borah of Idaho. And that proposal seems to have won general acceptance. After all, why should we exclude American ships from the Pacific merely because an occasional German submarine is abroad in the Atlantic? Why should we give up our right to have coastal shipping with Canada on the Pacific and on the Atlantic? Why should we give up our right to keep on sending our ships to certain points that happen to be under the British flag in the Atlantic? Surely, if there is anything in this resolution of 21 American republics to create a certain area of peace on this side of the Atlantic, we have the right to continue to send our American ships in that area, near our coasts, to carry on the legitimate, neutral business of the United States. As I travel about the country, I find everywhere increasing business, increasing confidence, and a measure of increasing prosperity. And to my surprise, and I've inquired now in half a dozen different states within the last few weeks, it's not due to the war. The upturn began definitely before the war, and as I inquire into its details, I find that thus far, the war itself has had very little to do with it. That, to me, is encouraging, because it suggests that that almost a boom which we are experiencing at this moment may have been accentuated to some extent by the war, but that it is in itself a natural development in the American business cycle. Good night.